It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
President Trump, in commenting on the peace deal he's attempting to broker between Russia and Ukraine, says, and I want to quote him very carefully, "If I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's pretty good. I'm going to try to get to heaven, if possible. I hear I'm not doing very well. I hear I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. If I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons." Okay, needless to say, such a statement, like so many of Trump's off-the-cuff remarks, is circulating over the internet and sucking all the oxygen out of the room on news commentary shows. As for this show, my show, obviously as a Christian apologist, I have a reaction of my own, no surprises. But before I address this, I need to acknowledge it's very possible Trump is just joking and having a good time. Certainly that line about being at the bottom of the totem pole, so he hears. He's having some fun with the comment. Now, we can have fun with comments, and there can also be a little bit of truth behind them. That's true. That's often the case. So I'm not one to rush in and parse every one of his words when he may very well have been making the entire comment tongue-in-cheek. After all, he seems to enjoy coming up with these extreme shock value comments just to mess with the heads of the media and get a reaction from them. So let's not be unmindful of this. Let's not jump to conclusions. At the same time, in other contexts, the question of Donald Trump's salvation has come up in a more serious way. I do have a pastor friend who was one of many who prayed over him in Washington during his first presidency. He and others there believed Trump had truly given his life to Christ. On the other hand, one can go through the motions, pray technically to receive Christ, and still not be saved. It depends on how much they truly understand their need for forgiveness, the extent of their personal sins. There is a spiritual blindness that sometimes prevents people from understanding what they're doing, even if the person is sincere. Bottom line, it does depend on a willingness to turn from sin. Now, anyone who approaches God seeking forgiveness will receive forgiveness as an undeserved gift. But it's like the pardon that may be a gift. It may be out of mercy. But it doesn't mean that there isn't some kind of responsibility on the other side. The guy can't say, well, thank you for letting me off. I'm going to go out and rob a bank again. One is forgiven, but there is a commitment to stop sinning and an acknowledgement that without God's supernatural power from his Spirit, who promises to live inside of us, we will not be able to turn from sin. Has Donald Trump done this? I really have no idea. I have not met the man. Even if I had, I can't look into his heart. I can't look into anybody's heart. I do know that politically, just politically right now, his status with Christ is of no concern to me. What I care about politically is that he protects the constitutional rights of Christians. If he were an atheist, but he was protecting our rights, I'd have no problem with him as president. Jimmy Carter, of all of our presidents, seemed to have a very accurate theological understanding of what it meant to be born again. He did. But he was a horrible president. Maybe not a horrible man, but a horrible president. When he ran for re-election, I voted for Reagan. And I wasn't sure if Reagan understood as much as Carter what it meant to be born again, although certainly Reagan believed in Jesus. But he would also make statements over the holidays like this one.
Well, Nancy and I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas as we celebrate Jesus, who came into the world as an example for all of us to be a better people.
Well, yeah, Jesus was an example, but his primary purpose in coming was to atone for our sin. Back to Trump. Undeniably, God has been on his mind very sincerely and very seriously since the attempted assassination. Trump has repeatedly confessed his belief that God spared his life because he plans to use him to turn our country around. And on this matter, ladies and gentlemen, I believe Donald Trump is 100% correct. I do believe, without any doubt whatsoever, that God is using him, that God spared him. Still, God can use anybody, even people that are not walking with him. And the Bible talks in detail about how he will use kings to deliver nations or judge nations. It doesn't necessarily comment one way or the other on whether or not Donald Trump is a true Bible-believing Christian. And while, as I said, politically that might not matter to me, spiritually it does matter to me. His salvation or lack thereof makes no difference to me as an American citizen who wants his rights protected, but it does matter to me a lot as a Christian who cares about people and cares about everybody's soul. As I said, I have never met President Trump. But if I had an audience with him, just to use my imagination a little bit, if I had an audience with him, this is what I would say. Mr. President, I'm a great admirer of yours. And I truly believe that with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln, you are, so far at least, the best president our country ever had. You are a great man. But you're still only a man. And as a man, you are guilty of sin, as all men and women are guilty of sin. On Judgment Day in heaven, God will not look at your sin on one side and your good works on the other side to see which outweighs what, whether the silver is outweighed by the gold. Does God want you to spare and protect human lives around the world? Does this make God happy? Of course. But he won't be asking you how many lives you saved when you stand before his throne. He'll ask you only if you confessed your sin and turned your life over to Jesus, which is turning your life over to him. He was the incarnation who became Jesus. Even then, it will only be a rhetorical question, a question God already knows the answer to, and naturally, after we give our lives to Christ, God wants to continue using us to do many great works, and they'll be done even better if his spirit is living inside of them, not to minimize the great works you've already done, but yes, with God's spirit, we can do even greater works, but those works are a fruit and a byproduct of our relationship with God. You already have the right idea by thanking God for saving your life. I urge you, Mr. President, to take the next step. Thank him for potentially saving your spiritual life as well, your soul, by becoming a man and dying for your sins. And then that salvation, that forgiveness, will no longer be potential. It will be sealed. Okay, that's what I would say to the president, just using my imagination here. Again, his comment may have been nothing more than a joke. I know that. But what Christian apologist who also does a news show can resist news like this? I'm sure you understand. By the way, still on the subject of lightheartedness, wouldn't it be fun to picture Trump in heaven? Hey, Peter, I like these pearly gates, but I think I can expand them with material from my wall. We'll paint them black, so that if Satan tries to get in again, his hands will burn like the fires of hell. We also should add a big, beautiful ballroom and a rose garden. I can get it for you overnight, so long as there are no Democrat angels to filibuster. God and I get along great, really great. Very nice fellow, that God. Very bright. He's one smart cookie, that God. Of course, neither saving lives in the Ukraine nor saving lives in Washington, D.C. is good enough for our Democrat politicians and mainstream media. The left these days has no position at all, except for one. If Trump is for it, they're against it. Trump wants to make a city safer. They don't want the city to be made safer. Trump wants to deport people who are here illegally, including drug traffickers, human traffickers, murderers, rapists, child molesters. And the left defends these people like they're a van full of pacifist nuns. And the same individuals who fought their whole lives for women's rights are now all for men playing on women's teams. They have absolutely no moral high ground or consistency whatsoever, except that they are against Donald Trump. If Trump went to war with Russia, he'd be a warmonger. If he tries to make a deal with Russia, he's Putin's lapdog. If NATO leaders hadn't come to the White House, Trump would have been a power-hungry maniac who won't work with other nations. On the other hand, when he has them at the White House, it's only because they need to keep him from bullying Zelensky. But then that interpretation claims they insisted on coming when actually Trump had invited them. As I said before, I've said this on previous shows, if Trump cured cancer, he'd be accused of putting doctors out of business. He'd also be accused of genocide, because cancer is a living organism. If he walked on water, they'd accuse him of putting surfboard shops out of business. Had he been president during World War II instead of FDR, had he defeated Hitler, had he defeated Germany, he'd be accused of cultural appropriation by bringing German rocket scientists into our country. He'd also be accused of hating classic music, since composers like Beethoven were German. Had he been Prince Charming, awakening Snow White, he'd be accused of sexual harassment since she was asleep while he kissed her. Had he been that other prince from that other fairy tale, Cinderella, he'd be accused of a used shoe scam. Had he been Santa Claus, they'd accuse him of breaking and entering on Christmas Eve. But if by chance he turns on his radio right now, all he'll have to do is hear me say, "This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious."
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing well. And we were talking during the commercial about my monologue about how some people, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but some people really are making these stupid comments about fairy tales. I have heard some of that. None of it would surprise me, especially from Snow Woke and the Seven Dorks.
I mean, they ruined the remake. I mean, I sat through that because I had to, and I was like,
remakes are never a good idea, even when they want to honor it. But this time they went out of their way to. And you actually did see the thing?
I did. I had to, because my work was making me
so
go there.
Was she an independent Snow White who didn't need a prince and all that stuff?
All that stuff. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then
was there a gay character? An obligatory
gay luckily, character no gay characters there. Yeah, no.
Oh, the prince wasn't a transvestite.
No, it turned out no. It was just
somebody's head must have rolled at Disney.
It just the lyrics. lyrics were repeating mother, daughter, father over and over. And I'm like, oh my gosh, can we find any other rhyming words with any of those words? Please stop.
Did they use any of the original songs from the original movie?
None. That's ridiculous.
Well, no, there's no way this woke Snow White's going to sing Someday My Prince Will Come. So
why not? Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Whistle While You Work? Nothing like that?
No, he doesn't even know that song. I mean, is the fact that the second word in that is like, oh, how dare they? I'm like, no, it's a cheer. It's hi-ho, hi-ho. It's Octoworker.
What a nightmare.
Anyways, that movie had to be, if it's not my worst.
I have not seen it, and I refuse to ever see it.
If it's not on my worst, well, actually, you know, I take that back. I got to see the worst movie this past week, and it was horrendous.
What was that?
War of the Worlds. They came out
with remade it again?
They remade it again.
Even the second remake, the one with Tom Cruise, I did not like.
I am actually defer with you on that one. I actually think it's not that bad.
Well, I knew they were going to have a troubled dad with his troubled teen son who was divorced.
Yes.
I knew they were going to throw that in there, and they did. That predictability is what I didn't like. But now you're saying this next. Have you seen the original War of the
Worlds?
Yes. Now, that one I think
obviously
is fantastic.
Obviously, nothing's going to compare to that for sure.
Absolutely not.
I didn't mind the remake only because I liked the more character aspect of it. Instead of seeing the actual tragedy that was going on with all the aliens attacking the world, here we're getting close up of emotional shots between just specifically Dakota Fanning and Tom Cruise, the father-daughter duo. The son, I can't stand. I was hoping he got shot by the aliens very quickly in the movie. It was so annoying. But nevertheless, I think that movie did a pretty decent job. Now, the new one stars Ice Cube, of all people, a guy who is very limited when he acts. He's always going to sneer at the camera and stay with an angry face.
Did the aliens
face.
Come to warn us about global warming and climate change?
No, even worse, though, is the way they made this. So they made this during COVID time. So everyone is recording with their iPhones or on a laptop, mind you. And Amazon, for some reason or other, held it for 5 years before they finally decided to release the movie.
They got quality pictures out of that?
Apparently so, but I don't think so. The aliens look terrible.
I mean, apparently they thought they were quality, but in reality they
not
weren't.
To mention, guess who the hero in the movie is at the end? Amazon Prime. That is ridiculous. They said how
Amazon Prime was actually mentioned by, talk about product placement in your own movie.
Yeah, so they said, we have this thumb drive, and if you connect it into the mothership, like Independence Day of all movies, you can kill off the aliens. And then, so Ice Cube's like, yeah, but I'm all the way over here. How the heck am I supposed to get this? And then they say, well, Amazon Prime it. We'll put it to this drone. And I'm like, you gotta be
kidding me.
Did
you ever see Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Yes, it's a fantastic parody.
It's
of
a
these
great
things.
Parody. It looks like it was filmed on a budget of $12, but I loved how these killer tomatoes, the only way you could kill them was to sing the song Puberty Love.
Right.
And it would destroy them. So at the end, the tomatoes are getting wise and they're wearing headphones or earmuffs to block out the singing. So they show them sheet music. Then they still melt. Oh, it was hilarious.
It reminds me of the same joke in Mars Attacks. Where
aliens
don't like yodel music.
Yeah,
and so that's how
I think they lifted that from Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I definitely think so. It's not as funny. And my goodness, that movie is the most boring film
and
ever.
Even while you're watching the credits, they suddenly have a furniture ad in the middle of the credits on Attack of the Killer. It was great. Yeah.
But this one, no, this new War of the Worlds movie, it took itself very, very seriously. For a quick mini review, 1 out of 10, hate it, don't ever watch that movie, please, ever.
So the 1 out of 10, you give it maybe a -5?
Yeah, exactly, something like that. It is that terrible. Okay, now let's get into our actual stories that we have, because I got a lot of stories to get through. So, hey, surprise, Trump's in the news. Did you know
that? Trump in the news? Get out.
All right. So this past Thursday, the White House has unveiled a list of 20 Smithsonian exhibits that the Trump administration is accusing of being historical events through ideological narratives instead of factual evidence.
And things that diss America and are woke and politically correct.
In general, so here's some of the stuff that has been specified as these items. At the National Museum of the American Latino, it portrays the U.S. stolen land and characterizes U.S. history as rooted in colonization. That's one of them. The other one.
They made colonization a four-letter word. There's nothing wrong with starting a colony somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And besides, how many other territories do we have? Does that mean we're invading their property? Because I don't think so. I think they're actually reaping the benefits of us as being a very free state and a very free country.
Yeah. Now, what we did to the Native Americans and putting them on reservations, I don't think there's any justification for that. But we have a war with Mexico, and Mexico loses the war. Boundaries change at the end of wars.
It's true. true. The other one happens to deal with the National Museum of American History with its depiction of Benjamin Franklin. He is known as a slave owner and took issue with the stance of the scientific accomplishments were enabled by social and economic systems he worked within, which is ridiculous. I mean, the man is a genius by himself. He's not taking advantage of any other person or anything. He's not the Thomas Edison.
And these guys are products of their times. He was born into a family that had slaves. He was also against slavery. He wrote into his will that his slaves were to be released upon his death. Now, unfortunately, they did not outlive him. But you've got to allow for the fact that people are going to change only so much in their lifetime.
It's true. I mean, again, one of the points that I'm always making is there's only been one Republican president that ever had a slave. That was Ulysses S. Grant. He had one slave. Immediately, what was the first thing he did when he became president? Freed a slave and said, here, here's some property and you're free to go. Yeah. And I don't...
Yeah. And by the way, the Democratic Party, which was the party of slavery, yes, is the party of slavery again. We need a certain kind of person who isn't a full citizen, who will do a certain kind of work for a certain kind of wage that we're not willing to do. That is another form of slavery. So this self-righteous, sanctimonious claptrap they can just keep to themselves.
Yeah. And then to further specify what you were talking about earlier about U.S. and Mexico, here's the other one. This was an art piece showcasing migrants watching July 4th fireworks through an opening of the U.S.-Mexico border wall, and which reportedly states that America's founders feared non-white immigration, is what they said on there. So again, it's a bunch of
misrepresentation. I bet you there was no exhibit that mentioned the fact that legal immigrants from Mexico and other Hispanic countries are some of the top people who support coming down against illegal immigration, since they did it the right way.
That information
are they going to call how white and racist are they?
Bob, that information is not important to them now. Come on, it's all about their
presence. They don't want the Smithsonian to confuse people with actual facts.
Now, most of the works, if you didn't know, were actually coming from the LGBTQ plus history exhibit that's within the Smithsonian.
Oh, there's a big surprise.
Yeah, there's a bunch
of... They must have been featured very prominently.
That's right. There's a different displays specifically lauding the 50th anniversary of Title IV with a focus on transgender athletes in there. So, again, obviously you could tell there's a big skew in this whole situation. And guess where Smithsonian gets most of its funding from? The federal government, really. I mean, yes, it does get on donations.
Yes, but our tax dollars do pay for this stuff.
Exactly. So if we want a true representation, just like how we talked about with the PBS stations, you want a true representation, we want both sides either said and or we want actual true factual.
Yeah, or it's just got to be the truth. Never mind the two sides. Which of these narratives is true history?
Yes. For me, if you want to put both, I'm completely fine.
Well, I'd rather have both than have it one-sided from the left. Yes, I agree with you on that.
Exactly. So the Trump administration has vowed to work alongside the Smithsonian to review all 8 of its museums and its exhibits to align with the historical vision.
I'm sure the left isn't worried. The minute Trump puts something out of the Smithsonian, somebody will sue him and a judge will command him to put it back in the Smithsonian.
Bob,
what else would we expect these judges to possibly do?
Bob, have you been reading my notes? Because guess what? My next...
Has it already happened?
No.
My
next segment happens to deal with that. Somebody's upset with Trump and wants to sue them.
Yeah, it's only been about 300 lawsuits since he became president just this last time.
Right.
Just these last 6 months.
So when we come back, we'll discuss more on that whole process. So stick with us.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. hearing, houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, where we talk about absolutely every subject except for green Chinese pottery that we do not talk about. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
I thought you were going to be sarcastic. Say everything but Trump. We will not talk about Trump. Oh, yeah. Oh wait, what's our next subject about?
Oh, yeah, there's no show today.
So big news coming out this past Friday was that a U.S. official confirmed, actually today I should say, today a U.S. official confirmed that the Pentagon is planning on a possible deployment of National Guard forces to Chicago. This is following, obviously, the National Guard process through D.C., where D.C. had a huge increase in crime. But I said this last week on Still Talking Radio with Jared Basso, that I said, boy, I like how the left's excuse is, well, yes, there is crime and it is increasing, but it's not that bad, you know?
Now, it's a little dicey because, as you know, the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., is federal territory, and so Trump has a right to federalize that city. Under some conditions, he can federalize other cities too. If it's an emergency, he'd have to state an emergency. And I think when they declare themselves to be sanctuary cities, he has every right to go in there and say, no, you're not. That's unconstitutional.
Sure.
Which is probably, it's not just crime, but a lot of the crime that's being committed by illegal immigration, and the sanctuary city's making that worse. But what is their stated justification? Are they using the illegal immigration and sanctuary city as their motive?
Yeah, well, specifically, it says here that the Pentagon said that Trump's main motives to use the National Guard was specifically for immigration, crime, and homelessness. That's what the target is.
Well, see, now with the crime and homelessness, I could see where they might say that's not the Fed's business. But with immigration, he's completely within his bounds. I don't have a problem with the others either, but I think that has to be declared a national emergency, which I believe it is.
Right.
I agree. We have these idiot, moronic mayors, and people's lives are in danger. And I'll bet if they went into the inner cities and talked to the people of Chicago, every single one of them would be begging Trump to come. But you talk to the mayor, oh, I'm protecting the rights of my people from this dictator, Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Makes your head spin.
No, and the left is quickly to attack about saying, like, well, they're attacking specifically black mayors, specifically because the D.C. mayor is black. And then
they're attacking any city that has an idiot mayor. And how often have they gone after Boston? She's not a black mayor at Boston.
Right, right. So open your eyes and notice, actually, no, there's actually a crisis.
Look how much he's come down on Newsom. Newsom is as white as they get.
Not to mention, here's the thing. So the mayor bragged saying that the crime isn't as bad as what Trump is posting.
In Chicago? It doesn't get much worse than Chicago.
You ready for this? He was boasting about the numbers. He said, this is literally from crimedata.org. Crime is down 1 year by 3%. 3%! Whoa! We're going.
And have you heard about how they bring the crime down? Something that's a murder, they'll call it a homicide or
something like that.
They'll lower it somehow and turn it into maybe a misdemeanor so that it doesn't have to count as a violent crime.
Right.
Cause of death unknown. They try all that. So manslaughter would be a word that you could use instead of cold-blooded murder.
Then. Yeah, this would explain the next number. He said violent crime is down by 13%, so that explains that part. And then property crimes down by 1%. I'm like, you're bragging about 1%. That's ridiculous.
How much are idiotic mayors down by? Not a whole lot.
And what's worse is, like, look at the approval rating. We talked about this last time. The approval rating of the governor or the mayor are in the teens. The teens. Like, I get our mayor.
And this governor, Spitzer, wants to be president.
Yeah. Again, our governor Newsom has a 12%, so it's not great either, mind you. But still, nevertheless.
But he wears his hair slick.
Yeah, exactly. And he's still going to run for president.
He's running for president already.
Yeah. Mayor Brandon Johnson is his name, by the way, following the great Mayor Lightfoot, as we all remember her.
Yeah, what a doll she was. I didn't think we could have a mayor worse than her, but I got to hand it to this guy. He did it.
He did it. Congratulations on that. He says that he was in contact with the county and state officials, but however, he heard absolutely nothing from the White House. I could see that because the White House is currently so busy with so many issues right on hand that this whole Trump situation of him saying, I'm thinking about sending the National Guard over there, it's right now a little bit lower in the totem pole right now with everything, especially the Ukraine and Russia deal right now that they're hoping to get done too, because it sounds like that's pretty high on his totem pole right now. But nevertheless, citing a report from the Washington Post, Johnson joined Illinois leaders, including Illinois governor, condemning President Donald Trump's proposed expansion of his crime crackdown efforts following his deployment of the National Guard in Washington, D.C., saying, quote, brave men and women who signed up to serve our country did not sign up to occupy American cities. What this president is attempting to do is not just unconstitutional, it is just a threat to our democracy. How many times have we heard that from a Democratic leader? Let me tell you, if I had a nickel for every time that was said.
How much is democracy overturned whenever they go to a judge?
Right, exactly. Trump told reporters that the next city that will be after Chicago would be New York City specifically. One last thing I was going to mention was Mayor Johnson vowed legal action if the Guard was ever deployed in Chicago, and it's unclear what impact that it would have. This is weeks after the National Guard troops were sent to Los Angeles amid the mass protests over immigration enforcement raids. A judge has yet to rule on that California lawsuit on that purpose. But we can all expect what that judge is probably going to say, obviously, especially in the state of California.
Give you three guesses and the first two don't count.
Exactly. Just a follow-up story on that one too, specifically about the sanctuary city. A judge has blocked Trump's administration from slashing sanctuary city funding. Federal judge, U.S. District Judge William Orrick in San Francisco.
He has absolutely no constitutional right to do that. I thought they were told by the Supreme Court, these lower judges, to stay out of this stuff. I think the day's going to have to just come where Trump just says, I'm just not going to listen to you. I do not recognize your authority. I think we're going to just have to start seeing that.
And besides, he can appeal this up to a higher district court anyway.
But I think
we've
got to get to the point where they shouldn't have to keep stopping and appealing. They need to just say, I do not recognize your authority, period. End of discussion.
Right, exactly. And if anything, you could make it another executive order and then just keep going on with this process if you want and just wasting our tax dollars more. But it's just, it's
ridiculous. He should just say, I'll tell you what, why don't I put you in jail while we're working this through and you can appeal that one.
Exactly. So if I could just really quickly read his notes on here. U.S. District Judge William Orrick in San Francisco, who was appointed by Obama, what a surprise, wrote in his decision that the Trump administration did little to object to his original order, instead appealing the decision and merely arguing the injunction was wrong. He also barred the administration from imposing conditions on grant programs that provide funding for a variety of critical needs. Orrick wrote that this is a threat and it is unconstitutional to our democracy. Oh, another quote about that. How about that?
Doesn't the judge know that we live under a republic anyway, and it's not even technically a democracy?
Yeah. Now, the weird thing is here, remember back in May, I want to say, or March, I told you about the Department of Homeland Security. They put out 60 cities that were sanctioned cities. That webpage is completely gone now on their website of what is listed as a sanctuary city now. So that's kind of strange and weird. I thought it would still be posted, or at least
maybe
updated.
There's so many sanctuary states now that
maybe it's gone
that
way.
Cities is becoming irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
My other guess is that they're going to have a follow-up report soon at some point, because if that's the case, then there's maybe even more cities, or like you said, it could expand to a state situation. So, which means, again, Trump can then use those National Guards to send them over there to find a... But again, that issue becomes, now we're fixing on the city, now we're going to fix on a bigger area now to look for these illegal immigrants. And again, the homelessness and the... I agree with you. The homelessness issue and the... What was the other one I was saying?
Crime.
Again, I agree with you on that. That one's not supposed to be the target issue right now at that point with the National Guard. They're specifically there for other reasons.
Again, he can declare it an emergency situation. I think a case can be made, but it's going to be easy. Well, I was about to say it's going to be easier legally to go after the illegal immigrants, but the judges are doing everything they can to not make that easy either. No. So maybe he's thinking they're going to come after us no matter what we do. Let's just do everything we feel is right.
And that's what he did with the executive orders, mind you. He just put out a whole bunch and he said, sue me, sure, go ahead, but it's going to take a while and I'm just going to keep going with these federal things.
Yep.
Again, good example is California with its EV mandates. Put out a federal law saying, nope, the EV mandate's gone. So now we're going to wait until this whole court process to find out if we still have the EV mandate.
You know what he should just do? Every time a judge overturns him, he should write the judge's name down. Like, let's say his name is Judge Gus. And then put out an executive order the next day saying, by executive order, nobody named Judge Gus can overturn any of our orders. And then that'll go to court.
Yeah. And then
just have some fun with it.
Exactly. All right. Well, coming up next, my next story I have for you guys involves something very, very interesting. I'm skeptical, but I'm very interested to see what your opinion is on this next matter. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
All right. So my next story I have for you today involves a company called Campus Garden Angel. They're looking to deploy drones to combat school shootings. Then they're going to be running test trials over in Florida. The CEO is the name Justin Marston, said that the system puts drones in boxes at different points around the school, and they're triggered by an emergency silent alarm that's moving within 5 seconds. The drones are then deployed and controlled by specialists in Texas to stop the shooter by deploying non-lethal projectiles and assisting police with video surveillance. He said, quote, if law enforcement is already there, we'll team with them, like giving them close air support, like having a pack of entirely disposable police dogs that are super smart. We shouldn't risk police lives unnecessarily, wishing to put them into incredibly difficult situations where they're having to make a lethal targeting decision in fractions of a second. Let's do all that difficult work because we don't care if we get shot. We're a lump of plastic. We're entirely disposable. He's talking about specifically the drones there. The pilot programs are happening in 3 Florida school districts, which set aside money in the state budget to try the program. Martin said the system costs $4 a month per student, mind you. And in 2024 specifically, there was hundreds of school shootings that occurred as educators were trying to find different ways to combat the strategies. One of the tactics include having school shooting drills, which have been criticized by parents by scaring their students and debates about the effectiveness of when they occur. The only negative side, and even the CEO has announced this too, is it comes down to the incredible capabilities of the pilots and what they can do with these drones, how fast they can move, what advantages they bring to law enforcement, and how can they reduce the risk of collateral damage. So in your opinion, what do you think of this idea of using drones to stop school shooters?
Well-intentioned, but concerning. This goes back to our discussion last week about artificial intelligence. Why not just allow more security on the campus? Why not have people, retired policemen or policemen on the campus with guns? Why not allow gun permits even for the teachers?
Right.
They don't want to do that, but we're going to leave it up to some machine. And how easily can a machine make a mistake? Not that people can't make mistakes too, but I just don't think it's that good of an idea to be becoming this dependent on artificial intelligence.
Not to mention, again, these boxes that they're talking about, it sounds, I'm very skeptical. He has said that he's tested this program with people in front of him who have been skeptics, and he says, and I quote, 95% of them switch over. So maybe I do have to see the program in action, but it sounds like it could be easily stolen, the drones, and if not, they can actually be easily tampered with. Number two, if you're testing this in Florida of all places, why do the pilots still need to go to Texas in order to fly these drones? That makes no sense.
Maybe that's where this particular technology is. I don't know. Somewhere down the road, one of them's going to be looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get off of the campus now! I'm sure 90% of the time it'll be successful, but I just don't think it's a good idea for our country to be moving this way. I do think the crime is a serious problem, and I do think we need armed protection. Aren't there still a few things human beings can do? Mm-hmm. Can't human beings arm themselves?
Yes, and especially in school shooting situations. Yes. That's the worst kind of crimes out there.
I don't want some drone protecting my kids in school. I want an officer or a military person or a security guard protecting them. Or let the teachers be licensed to carry firearms. Not every teacher, because not every teacher wants to do that. But the ones who are able to and have the skill, let them do it. Some of these potential shootings that we've had in Texas, the lives of people have been saved because there was a plainclothes person there with a gun.
Mm-hmm. Now, my other question, too, is out of all states, why Florida to test this out? Because I'm trying to think, did the governor agree to this idea, or is it specifically the school district?
In states like Florida and Texas, I would think that they're gun control laws would be much more at a minimum anyway.
Exactly, yeah. So it surprises me that you're testing it in those kind of markets and not, say, like a California, a New York.
But it may be, people are probably saying this is cutting edge, this is the future, but it's the same principle that says that when you go to Jack in the Box, you're going to have to order from a kiosk and not have a human being to talk to anymore. We're just moving to a point where we're far too dependent on mechanisms and people are out of work. And this time, I think we're gambling with the safety of our children.
And not to mention, not to sound morbid by any means, but I feel like most of the school shootings or these mass shootings happen in blue states, mind you. So I would imagine that you want to test it in a more, I would say dangerous or at least
stable. If you're wondering why the red states are testing it, the blue states probably aren't even willing to let them test this or any other kind of thing that would really prevent crime.
It's true. They want to take credit for it, if anything, or they'll say, but we had another.
I think the motive is we need to protect our kids. I'm with them on the motive. I'm not with them on the way they're trying to carry it out. But I don't think the blue states even have that motive to protect anybody. Unless it's somebody here from another country who's accused of gang rape. Oh, they want to protect that person.
Right. It's scary to be in these kind of states, I'm telling you. I can't even trust a single politician in what they say now.
It's scary to be in the kind of state that we're in. It doesn't get much bluer than California, and I ain't talking about the ocean.
It's true. All right, well, I got one more story for you coming up after the break. We're going to be doing something local, and it has to do with housing. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, with one more segment with Brendan Thomas.
All right. Well, we're going to go something local here.
Something local in California can't be too good.
No, unfortunately not. Usually when I report something local, it's something on the negative side. And I have to say,
I don't think I can remember one good local thing happening around here in a long time.
Except for maybe a baby animal being born in the zoo.
Oh, that's well, that's fine. So. Yeah, you want to go to the zoo. That's fine.
That's about it, though. But now you got to get charged for parking at the zoo now at this point. So that's
I was at the zoo recently, and they still weren't charging for parking yet.
When it's coming up, I think next fiscal year is what they announced, which $10 to park. Great. Thanks a lot.
Great.
Anyways, so Senate Bill 79, what is one of the things that we keep asking for in San Diego? Affordable housing. Now, I'm not talking about making a $1 million home into 750 still, guys. Now, what I mean is something that I and my generation can afford. No, you're still not doing it here with this bill. So Senate Bill 79 has officially been passed, and it will go into the Assembly next month. Now, keep in mind it narrowly passed. It only passed by 5 votes, mind you. This legislation will allow developers to build large-scale apartment complexes near major transit stops. Some opponents of the bill, which, by the way, the author was a guy from San Francisco. What a surprise. Oh, he knows how to make laws that are really good, I bet. Oh, come on. He would give developers more access to single-family neighborhoods while doing little to address the affordability. Other critics also say that the legislation will allow apartment buildings up to 7 or 8 stories tall near the major transit stops while offering only small number of affordable units to in the first place. Now, I have 3 issues with this place.
So these are going to be expensive buildings with very little living space.
Exactly. So 3 things I have issues with. Number one, you're not going to get any parking in these areas, obviously, because you're losing the parking spots in the transit area in the first place. Number two, it's already congested because it's a transit spot, so it's a hub. It's a big hub area to transport everywhere in San Diego. And lastly, number three, I don't want to live in an apartment. I want to live in a house. I want a growing space. I don't want to be secluded in a one studio apartment.
And number four, no matter how good they build it, you still have to live in California.
Exactly. And I don't, well, okay. weather aside, because I will admit the weather is nice here in San Diego. I'll admit that. Everything else about San Diego still stinks. The infrastructure. The people here are rude when they drive around and think they own the highway, basically. But that's a silly point. Number three, I can't stand any of the local officials because no matter how long I complain about things here, nothing gets done. It still is as slow as the federal government when it comes to getting things done around in this area. It drives me bonkers. And so this Senate bill is just going to be a complete waste of my time and a complete waste of other people's tax dollars for that matter. You want affordable housing? Then do so correctly. I don't want to spend $2,400 on an apartment that I can barely afford with the budget that I have in the first place. And
well,
I have
and these
to make...
are the people that won't allow those whose homes burnt down to rebuild.
Right, exactly. They won't get insurance claims. And in fact, if you do, you got to wait till this whole state and federal court system goes through.
How many insurance companies are even in California anymore? Didn't a lot of them get out of here?
Exactly. They moved to actually better states, mind you. And that goes for not just, you know, insurance companies. We're talking like gasoline and oil companies have left. Even In-N-Out.
Bed Bath & Beyond. In-N-Out is now named Out.
It's insane what the state of California is doing. And I know this is specifically talking about the city of San Diego here, but they can all correlate into one basically here at this point. It is a shame to see this. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that I'm going to be wrong in this because I really, really do want some change around here in San
Diego.
Well,
Newsom must have done something good or there wouldn't be a statue built in his honor. That's right. He built it himself.
Dang it. I was going to mention that to you. Well, Bob, that's all the stories I have for you.
Brendan,
I know it was a lot
good
here.
Good stuff.
But, you know,
it's always a pleasure.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.